episode 397 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is an Aftershock Monday episode, and today I'm going to be talking about Betrothed, the Aftershock series from writer Sean Lewis and artist Stephen Yu, with Simon Boland on letters. So this series is coming to a conclusion with issue 5 that comes out this Wednesday, July 11th. And it's been a pretty solid series. If anything, the pacing's been a little up and down, but the art has been spectacular. And the world and kind of the universe, I suppose you'd say, because it's definitely three different worlds. It's Earth, and it's Priam, and it's Nuam. All three of those places are the setting for the story, and they're all pretty interesting in their own ways. So I've really liked this story and have enjoyed it, and I think that the characters are interesting and compelling, and I'd like to see more of them in the future. So I'm going to just give kind of a recap of the first 4 issues, and then I'll talk a little bit about issue 5, but I'll pretty much keep it spoiler-free. So if you want to know the end of the story, you're going to have to pick up issue 5 for yourself this Wednesday. So the story starts out with our two main characters, Kieran and Tamara, meeting. Kieran's new to high school. They're teenagers. And when they meet, things don't exactly go too well. Tamara slugs him. She's not sure why. He was just going to tap her on the shoulder and ask where the science building was. And she mentions in the book that she basically feels like it was being touched with a live electrical wire. So despite the rocky start, they feel drawn to each other. So the dialogue is pretty strong. And we do get a little bit of background about the two different worlds that they come from. The Priam are from a world that's based in magic, and they have quartz in their mountains that kind of fuels that magic. And they're invaded by the futuristic people of Nuam, who are coming to take the quartz to form into their futuristic weapons, lasers and such. And so obviously there's a battle for this limited resource, because they both need it to survive. And in the middle is the planet Earth. It's a bridge planet that allows them to travel back and forth between the two worlds. So they've been at war for a long, long time. And in order to finally bring an end to that war, they have pledged these two heirs to be united. They're betrothed, thus the title of the series. So we're told that Kieran was actually created from a powerful magical spell, so powerful that it killed the sorceress who performed the spell, whereas Tamara was created in a laboratory, you know, as befitting a kind of a futuristic society. So the Nuam and the Priam are actually about to fight, but then a truce is called based on past arrangements, apparently, because the betrothed have finally met. Kieran the Conqueror, Queen Tamara, so a truce is called. And they are supposed to be joined in 9 days on their 18th birthday. So that's what we find out in the first issue. However, Kieran and Tamara, they don't know. They themselves don't know. They've just met that day. And while they're trying to sleep that night, they're both drawn back to the school. Looks like they both live relatively close, but there's a star or a rift, some kind of glowing something above the school with a figure standing on top of it. And as I said, they both feel drawn to it. And Kieran actually climbs up the side of the building. Tamara just leaps up there, and they travel through that portal, and they're brought to, I think they're on Nuam. And many of the people of Priam are there and say, "Welcome back. It's wonderful to have you back. Now you got to kill each other," basically. And that's where issue 2 begins. So in issue two, same creative team, we see someone say, please proceed with murdering one another. And they're very much taken off guard. Like, wait, who's betrothed? Me and him, seriously? And I'm not killing anybody dressed like this, says Kieran. And he's like, enough. I hate how humans joke. Marry or murder, either way, someone's going to die. And they throw Tamara a laser weapon, which she fires at Kieran, but he uses his powers to stop it. Like, I thought we were friends. What's this? And he has the fireball that he kind of has morphed her laser blast into. Tamara says, it's our instincts. We've been trained, even if we don't know it, which is a very important part of the story, because, I mean, it's far-fetched enough to think of these two as warriors, having never fought or had any training, but, you know, apparently it's ingrained in them. They don't realize the extent of their capabilities. Tamara says, let's play a little game. I send a little heat to you, and you send a little heat to our friends. So she actually fired at him so that he could have that energy and then fling it at the guy that was wanting them to kill each other. And Kieran remarks, could someone get us a user manual or something? I'm afraid we don't want to hurt anyone. As they're surrounded by the rest of the traitors of one of the peoples, the seer of Priam, Durbus, shows up, and he says, I will not see the betrothed bleed today. And he sends them back to where they came, knowing that in doing this, he's sacrificing his own life. And we see below there are actually warriors of Priam and Nuam. So they're always fighting. They're always at war. But one thing that will get them to work together is to have the betrothed killed, which is an interesting concept when you think about it. Two ways to unite them, right? Like, they're united if the betrothed manage to like consummate their relationship and do get married, kind of unite the two tribes, so to speak. Or you can be not united in your hope that the tribes will not be united. So, you know, united for a common goal temporarily. So it's interesting when you think about it like that. But Durbush the seer does say, though my death is not something I saw this day, I pray the children were worth it. And they're sent back home. And for some reason, when they travel between worlds, they're naked. But when they do rematerialize on Earth, they've got their pajamas on, the same clothes they were wearing when they left the night before. And as they reappear at the school, within the school, one of Kieran's friends sees them and Andy, and he's like, I gotta go to the bathroom right now, runs out into the hall trying to catch up to him, while Kieran and Tamara are trying to come to grips with what's happened. Kieran seems a little more easygoing and a little more accepting of it, whereas Tamara is very much seems to be against it. She's like, I'm not having, you know, she hears betrothed and all she hears is, I'm supposed to have sex with this guy. I'm going to be forced into it. So meanwhile, we see back on Nuam, Tamara's sister is actually able to observe the children in the hallway of the school because Tamara's guardian has tapped into their cameras, basically. As they're observing, she's informed that the Priam seer Durbush was murdered on the battlefield, so that the truce that had been called for, that had been agreed upon when the betrothed finally met, is off. And Lodash, the leader of the Priam, will be bringing their army to fight. So back on Earth, the betrothed are walking outside of school, and they're still kind of arguing about what it means to be betrothed and what they've just experienced. And meanwhile, Andy and Tamara's friend Lee are kind of confronting them outside of school, and they realize that Kieran's Aunt Petra and Tamara's Uncle Swift are going to be worried that they, you know, basically disappeared in the middle of the night. Indeed, we meet them on the next page. Petra Kovler, ancient 300-year-old sorceress, doesn't look a day over 40, loves Bob Dylan. And the Swift, scientist, 43, looks 43, likes nothing. And the Swift actually shows up at Petra's house, and she's like, why did you come here uninvited? He's like, hey, we're on the same team. I'm the Swift, Earth Guardian of Queen Tamara, who's gone missing. I registered a travel miss near the school. And Petra responds, they went to pre-am, they aren't ready. And the Swift says, they're already back, and it seems something decided to follow them. So they head out together to look for Tamara and Kieran. So meanwhile, Tamara and Kieran are actually trying to head home, as in they're still in their pajamas. Andy and Lee are following, like, I'm not getting... Annie's like, I'm going to follow you all the way home until you get some answers. And Tamara responds, fine, we went to another world where we have to have sex for the world to survive. He's like, wait, what? Lee just wants to know if Tamara did anything with him. Kieran's yelling at him, guys, we have bigger problems than this. Like, what? And then we see that there's what looks like some kind of pre-em hunter with some hunting dogs who has come to Earth to hunt them down, basically. And he says, mouth dogs, take down the betrothed. And Tamara immediately springs into action. She grabs some hairspray from Lee's purse. Kieran, same trick we did before. So she uses a lighter and the hairspray to create a ball of fire that Kieran then forms into kind of a spherical projectile weapon and fires it at the hunter. And then all of a sudden there's a big explosion and we see that Petra and the Swift are there saying, children, we apologize. Clearly we have some explaining to do. And that's where issue 2 ends. Issue 3 picks up with that same battle. We see that Petra and Swift are pretty formidable. And what they don't understand is why the hunter is there in the first place, because Kieran and Tamara are not to be harmed until they make their decision. There's been an agreement for a long time. And the hunter responds that only some people agreed. And then the hunter also goes further on to say the rest of us are bringing the fairy tale to an end. So Petra's not really happy with Queen Tamara. She doesn't seem to be able to really defend herself very well. She says as much. Your future queen needs to get better at dodging. To which Swift replies, be careful, this barbarian is from your tribe. So the barbarian, or the hunter, whatever you want to call him, sends his dogs after everyone that's there, including Andy and Lee. Meanwhile, Kieran's worried that Petra's hurt. And she says, no, I'm not hurt, I'm mad. And then Petra says, Kieran, send our friend back, and tosses him a piece of quartz, saying, concentrate on the quartz and you'll know how. So he does indeed concentrate on the quartz, and it opens up a portal behind the hunter, and he's sucked into it as Tamara fires at him with her weapon. And as the hunter is caught up in that vortex, Andy is caught up in it as well. And he says, it's got me, kiss my mom, feed my cats. But Kieran manages to grab him and pull him away. So now that the battle's over, Swift wants some explanation. He asks Petra, why would one of your tribes of barbarians be here? And she responds, it's called betrayal. He's partaking in betrayal, as are your people, no doubt. So they kind of understand that it's not just one side or the other. There are people on both sides that don't want this union to take place, basically. Petra then tells Kieran and Tamara, you're done being kids. Now you are warriors. And she then unleashed some mist again, and they start hearing a voice talking about them needing to consummate their relationship. This will be your destiny or your doom. The war for the courts will end, harmony shall rise, and a great unity will rise up against the great darkness. And then the mist kind of fades away. Meanwhile, back on Nu-Am, Queen Tamara's sister is asking the barbarian, why? Why did you fail me? And he's very upset that his dogs are killed. That's where his concentration is. He's not really in any shape to answer. He's pretty messed up from the battle. And Tamara's sister has no mercy. He misses his dogs. Reunite them, please. And then her right hand says, Petra and the Swift know the children are in danger. But she says, Petra will need to be dealt with. Are you worried about the Swift? He says, no. Parenting softens people. So They're both expendable. And apparently, Tamara's sister just doesn't believe that she can lead them to war, let alone understand them. She's lived on Earth for far too long. But meanwhile, the Niwam are preparing for battle because Lodash and his army will be descending soon to avenge Dervish. And meanwhile, back on Earth, this is something that doesn't completely make sense to me, because Petra and the Swift know that these kids now are aware of their destiny, aware of who they are as people, and they are in danger because obviously there are traitors on both sides that want them dead, but yet they encourage them to go to a party to quote-unquote blow off steam. So yeah, it seems an interesting choice, but it's also a typical high school party. Andy gets called fat. The girls are having girl talk, you know, Lee and Tamara talking about does she like Kieran? Does she not like Kieran? And she's like, I don't know. I like him, which makes me mad. I don't know if it's the prophecy, you know, if I like him because I'm destined to like him or if I legitimately like him. It makes me crazy. Then we have, another guy who's overhearing that, who's like, I'll make you crazy, baby, and then gets knocked out. They go upstairs. And they're looking out in the backyard by the pool. Meanwhile, Andy's been thrown in the pool by some bullies. Kieran's there kind of making sparks with his hands. And a girl comes up saying that, hey, my dad used to do magic at birthday parties. You do that with dry ice, right? He's like, yeah, dry ice. That's it. Meanwhile, Tamara sees from upstairs that a girl has interest in Kieran. Clearly, she's jealous, even though they're just talking. And she comes over and literally just front kicks the girl. And Kieran's like, whoa, chill out. And Tamara runs off, you know, all upset. So as Anna Lee is helping Andy out of the pool, Kieran goes after Tamara. He's like, hey, what's going on? Sorry I touched you, but Devin was just drunk and talking to me. And Tamara's like, yeah, well, I'm a virgin and we have to do this. You know, they have to consummate. They have to become one in a way. And Kieran's like, oh, right. I don't know what I'm doing in that regard either, if it makes any sense. And she's like, it doesn't. He's like, you know what? Tamara says, I'm not saying I'm sleeping with anyone just to save the universe. I'm not going to be told what to do. You understand? And he's like, I do. I'm sorry. Tamara's like, okay, so I'm in charge. I'll make the decision about this. And Kieran's like, hey, I'm okay with that. He's like totally backed off. And we see the Swift is actually there watching them, kind of watching over them. So maybe it wasn't so crazy to think they sent him to this party because they are watching. And he reports in, I'm watching Queen Tamara, General Salander. That's Tamara's sister. And he's like, I don't understand the directive. He's like, bring her home now. Use the transporter given to you when you left. Like, and he's confused. He's like, but it's not their birthday yet. They haven't consummated their relationship. Like, what's going on? And Petra's there as well and says, who are you talking to? She's like, I cast a protection spell when we sent them tonight, and you keep popping up in it because he's there observing, right? He says, I have people to answer to. She's like, answer me. And they're kind of at each other's throats. So the kids all hear, they come running. They're like, hey, what's going on? And Petra's like, your uncle's a traitor. He's spying on you. And the kids are actually the mature ones for once. Kieran's like, we have to talk about this as adults. And Swift says, you aren't adults, you're children. And Queen Tamara and I have been told it's time to come home. We need to erase who we were. And he puts out the transporter. The box that apparently she was, Tamara says, she was never supposed to touch. Yeah, it's a transporter, and it'll basically erase, not only transport them, but erase all evidence that they were ever on Earth. And Swift says, Kieran, I'm sorry, we need to go back. And he says, just let us set a spell, we've done it before, till we can figure this all out. But the transporter is about to go off, and it's going to take them to where the quartz was stolen, where the new Am's army is, where the monsters roam. And it does indeed transport them. And Swift says, it's home for some of us and execution for others. So they're definitely on New Am, because Swift feels safe where Petra does not. So that's how issue 3 ends. Issue 4 picks up with them still in the water. And this is where the pacing starts to get just a little bit wonky. It starts to move really, really quickly, which, I know you only have so much real estate in the book to tell the story, right? So it just, I understand that, but I wish there was a little more room, to tell the story. And I also get a very much of a Dune vibe. If any of you have seen, Dune with Kyle MacLachlan, it was David Lynch that made it, where they're riding the sandworms. So they're all floating in the water. There's an ancient beast that surfaces from beneath. And Kieran's like, grab onto it. And Eddie's like, grab onto the talking sea monster. Why? Like, do it. And they basically ride the sea monster into, the stronghold of the, Priam and, of the New Am. They're on New Am, you know, the futuristic world. And there's many of the Priams there as well, including the Lodash, or including Lodash, the leader of the Priams. And it's a pitched battle, going back and forth. It's like the Priam and the New Am are fighting against each other, but there are some that are, you know, of the factions of the particular worlds that want the betrothed dead. So it's almost like there's four different sides of teams here. Meanwhile, Swift is killed. Andy is injured. Lodash and Petra end up sacrificing themselves. They end up holding everybody off and giving Kieran, an injured Andy, Anna Lee, and Tamara a chance to escape. While Petra and Lodash know they're basically going to be killed. They're vastly outnumbered, but it's the only way for the kids to escape. So they're followed back to Earth as Kieran starts a spell. And there is some argument between them about whether or not they should leave and go back to Earth or not. But what's interesting is when they do decide they should go back, as Petra and Lodash encourage them to, because they know Earth. It's kind of their home turf, their home field advantage, where they will kind of understand the way things work a little better and have a better chance against those that will come after them. So as Kieran calls up the mist, what's interesting is they have their clothes, and Anna Lee even remarks on it, what's wrong with the mist? We're not naked this time. And Kieran responds, because we're not vulnerable anymore. We're not naked inside or outside this time. Tamara says, no, we're ready for war. So clearly in a short period of time, they've remembered that training that they received while they were growing up, even if they weren't aware of it at the time. There's somewhat of a genetic memory based on the way that they were conceived. Tamara in a lab and Kieran through a spell. So I imagine there's some latent abilities that would kind of manifest themselves as they need them, as they come closer to their 18th birthday. So, but as I mentioned, they are followed back home. And we do see that Petra and Lodash are indeed killed, with Petra barely hanging on with a very weak Kieran run. So, as I said, issue 5 comes out this Wednesday, and I don't want to go too into detail on it, because I think it's worth picking up and reading the story for yourself, but it does bring a conclusion to the story. Again, I think the weakest part of the story is one of the toughest things to get right as a newer comic writer. And I know, you know, Sean Lewis has written other books before. And so this may not necessarily be a weakness of his writing so much as just kind of the reality of the room he had to tell. I feel like the issue or the story would have benefited from another issue or two to give the characters a little more time for some quiet moments so we can kind of get to understand them better. They're a little two-dimensional They're a little bit, you know, the classic Romeo and Juliet trope, which they clearly acknowledge throughout the story many, many times, which I appreciate that. But again, I just think if he'd had a little more real estate, another issue or two, then maybe it would have been to the betterment of the story, I think. That's not to say that it's not good and it's not enjoyable. And it also might be a sales thing, right? Like if not enough people are picking up the book, it doesn't necessarily justify stretching it out to some more issues. So I did enjoy the final issue. It is my favorite issue of the series, despite the fact that it's not even the whole issue that feels rushed, because there are some great character moments. But when we get to like the last three or four pages, it does come to a conclusion relatively early, or relatively easily, considering all the buildup. So you can take it one of two ways. You can take it as Kieran and Tamara really have kind of come into their own and grown as warriors, and thus are able to kind of defeat their enemies relatively easily. Or you can take it as, man, they've just were running out of space and the story really needed to end. So as I said, it is enjoyable. I would have liked a little bit longer of a fight. It seemed a little too easy for them in the end to kind of defeat their the traitors amongst their various tribes. But as I said, it was enjoyable. It is a series I would recommend. The art by Steve Yu is incredible. It's you can definitely see the manga influence, but it's a relatively simple style, like, you know, the manga influence, where you've got some, you know, pretty solid lines, and the art is very clean, but it doesn't go so far over to the manga side of things where you see like really big eyes and exaggerated expressions. It's a little more of a Western style when it comes to that. So it's a good mix between the two. And he also does the colors for the book. And so I think he has the advantage of being able to know where he can take shortcuts. And the way he depicts both the futuristic weapons and firepower of the Nuam, as well as the spells and the mist and the electricity of the Priam, are all done really, really well. Very bright colors, somewhat of a primary palette, which kind of suits his art, which, you know, tends to be a little more cartoony as opposed to, you know, the more realistic style that you see in a lot of comic books these days. So the art is really spectacular. And the storytelling from panel to panel, like never once throughout any of the books when I read them the first time or subsequent readings or going through them right now to kind of talk about them, did I ever have to go back from, you know, one panel to the previous panel to understand what was going on. It's very well done. He doesn't really alter the angles within the panels a lot. But he does zoom in and out. There are some close-ups here and there. So I certainly never got tired. It wasn't like every single panel was, you know, the exact same. But I also wouldn't mind seeing him vary up his panel layouts, you know, on the page, and vary up the camera angles a little bit more. But as I said, it's a minor thing. I think the art is pretty spectacular. And just like the overall idea of the story is really cool. And now that we've had the conclusion of the first arc, I imagine whether or not Betrothed returns to see Kieran and Queen Tamara fight against that great evil that was the whole driving reason why they needed to unite their worlds. I suppose a lot of that will depend on how well the story does in trade. So I do encourage you all to pick it up. I think it's a pretty solid story. And you know, pick it up and trade for one easy price if you're not able to find the single issues. So it's Betrothed from Aftershock. And yeah, I think it's pretty good. It's a book I haven't heard a lot of people talking about, so I wanted to go ahead and spotlight it on Aftershock Monday. So once again, I want to thank everyone for joining us. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help us with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. Just a reminder, Manny and I will be at San Diego Comic-Con coming up in about a week and a half. Huge show, a lot of content, a lot of interviews, a lot of panel coverage. We'll be bringing it all to you. A lot of pictures on Instagram, so be sure you're following us there. If you're going to be at the show, let us know. Reach out on one of those social platforms or shoot us an email. We'd love to meet up with you, take a picture. It's always great to meet listeners. We'll hook you up with a free Comic Source lanyard, and you can get a chance to tell us what you like about the show and maybe even what you don't like. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.